You're listening to the sounds of Mars, as recorded by Perseverance, the Mars rover. Perseverance is performing 250 million miles away, in temperatures as low as minus 153 degrees Celsius, operating smoothly, with Castrol's liquid engineering in its veins and mechanisms. Castrol is proud to have been chosen by NASA, having worked in space for over 60 years. And everything we do in space goes into everything we do here on Earth. In this podcast series, we wanted to explore how advanced some places are on our own planet, places with machines that need similar Castrol products to those needed on Mars. We meet people and their machines who perform under some of our planet's most extreme conditions on land, sea, and air. People who undertake some of the most challenging missions as part of their job, every day.
Jennifer Campbell, National Account Manager. I've been with Castrol for 27 years. I actually started while I was still finishing up my degree. So the robot arm on Perseverance, it's 7 foot long, so longer than me. It has articulating joints on it, similar to a human arm. So it can pick things up, it can drill, it can do the various tasks and experiments that are required of Perseverance. I think the human race has started to understand that robotics are an extension of who we are and can be used in various ways and different applications to support or extend people, but also keep people safe. We use robotics to improve efficiency in car manufacturing, but we also use them in applications that are too dangerous for humans to be exposed to. When robotic arms are created or manufactured here on Earth, they are filled with a lubricant, and that's called a first fill. Like your car, when you purchase a car from a car dealership, there's already engine oil in the car engine, and that's considered the first fill lubricant. This episode begins in Shanghai at the KUKA Robot Arm Factory, where robotic arms are filled for the first time with castor oil. We will hear about robotic arms on Earth being used in challenging environments and how they're being used to help build new renewable energy technology.
My name is Liu Zhiyuan. My English name is Alan. I'm an engineer at KUKA in Shanghai, China. I work with robots on a daily basis. My job mainly involves collecting data from robots, figuring out client requirements, coding, and I also do testing. The whole process involves working with robots. I find bugs on robots and fix them. That's how I look after my robots. The smallest KUKA robot measures half the height of a person. The largest model is as big as a horse. They're a bit like human arms, but a robot arm has 6 axes, while a human arm only has 3. They can do a lot more compared to human arms, but human arms can do more delicate work. The life cycle of a robot is up to 10 years, or even longer. During this time, the fluid needs to be changed frequently. Robots will always need fluid in them. Hazardous work often incurs health risks, such as light hazards, gas-related hazards, and sound. Robots can take over some of this type of work, including soldering, spray coating, and some of the work in a noisy environment. These jobs are often seen in car factories, chemical plants, gasworks, and even factories that make car seats. Robots are often used in these situations.
The robotic arms that we have and we use on the planet are bringing theories that scientists have had for a very long time. Now having the ability to use robotic arms, we can bring those theories to life.
My name is Faiz Rahman. I'm a graduate mechatronics engineer working at the UK Atomic Energy Authority, so that's UK AEA. I'm currently working in RACE, that's Remote Applications in Challenging Environments, which is essentially our remote handling robotics department within the company. So for example, you have the robot in a place where people can't be. For example, it might be too dangerous, it might be really far away, it might be somewhere you just don't want to be. And for me, the application of robotics has always been interesting in that specific regard. I want to be able to do research. I want to send people to places without actually having to endanger them. And that is exactly what we do. When you walk into RACE, I think the first thing you see is obviously the main entrance. But once you get past all the bits with the offices and corridors and whatnot, you get into the work hall. Now, the work hall is essentially where all the magic happens. That's where all our robotic experiments occur. So the first thing you see is a huge 18-ton, 6-degree-of-freedom orange robot, which is a robot arm in its own right. Attached on the very end, we have two other KUKA arms, like little arms. And essentially, it looks... How would I describe it? If it's probably standing up with its arms stretched out, it looks a bit like a Hulk with a snake body. That's kind of what it looks like. You use it to bolt things on, cut pipes, weld pipes, a variety of things. Essentially, when you walk in, it just looks like this giant playground of robots, which is really cool. You know, it's essentially my dream place to work at.
My name's Sarah Griffiths. I'm a mechanical engineer. I work in robotics at ITER. My first job after university was decommissioning nuclear power plants in the UK. It's dismantling old fission reactors, putting them into a safe state, using robotic handling systems there. There are areas which aren't accessible to humans. Being exposed to that level of radiation is not safe and could either make you critically ill or could result in death. It's a very strange but very fascinating environment to be in.
We've been seeing huge leaps and advancements. We have robots exploring radioactive environments like in Chernobyl, doing things which we could not do because it's been too dangerous for us. So RACE, we're involved with the Fukushima disaster. So with what's going on with the reactor right now, it's really dangerous, it's really radioactive. So trying to de-risk it as much as possible, mitigate the risks as much as we can so that it is safe to essentially clean it up. And what that involves is sending robots in, sending our sensors, trying to scan what's going on, and trying to understand what is happening before we can actually fix the problem. What's really cool, and at least to me, really interesting about Fukushima is that it has its own microclimate going on inside. Essentially, what's happened is that the reactor is still hot. You're trying to cool the reactor down, but what happens is because it's hot, it evaporates. So within these rooms, within the reactor, you have like, it's raining, it's really weird, and it's really radioactive, so robots are dying. You have a single room within the reactor where you have a graveyard of dead robots, which is quite morbid, but I just think the concept is like, wow, this really strange world which you're entering, it kind of feels, you know, like really sci-fi.
You have mechanical handling equipment which is capable of supporting loads, and surrounding this you have robotic arms, and these robotic arms can be capable of laser cutting, can be capable of welding, capable of handling the equivalent of a bus safely, and really engaging with the components that need to be dismantled. Also be able to capable of moving them from A to B to store them in a safe location. For me, robots make things possible. There's a lot of things that humans are capable of, but there are also a lot of things that humans are not capable of. We've got limited strength, we've got limited tolerance to difficult environments, and robotics, that really helps us make the most of our knowledge and our engineering experience while still being able to go into really hazardous areas. I would say that robots are part of the team. you do end up being emotionally attached to them. You work through so many difficult projects and he'll go and fix all your problems for you. The way they move, the way they can mimic human motion, it does end up making you feel like there's a human next to you. It can be quite strange.
Now having the ability to use robotic arms, we can build things and grow and expand where we never have been able to do before because we didn't have the robotic arms to allow us to do that. So these robotic arms are being used to help develop new forms of energy like fusion.
Fusion energy, what we're essentially trying to do with it is that we're going to try to reproduce what's going on with the sun. So the sun is this huge object in the sky. We're going to try to reproduce all of it within a jar, essentially a donut-shaped jar where we have all these plasmas all heated up to 150 million degrees Celsius. So that's 10 times hotter than the core of the sun here on Earth. And we're going to try to get energy out of it. So with fusion energy, because it's such a huge endeavor, so we're trying to de-risk fusion energy. And what that involves is trying to get people out of the equation as much as possible. So the role that robots play is essentially doing any kind of maintenance and upgrade work or assembly work, which a human might do, but making sure that they don't get exposed to all the nasty and dangerous bits of it.
Currently on either site, we are using a KUKA robotic arm to carry out laser cutting on one of our major components. We're using the robotic arm to achieve very high precision and to remove the operator from a hazardous environment. For me, combining human experience and knowledge with our manipulators and robotic arms at ITA produces great results. It means that we're able to enter into difficult, hazardous environments. We're still able to keep the human mind there to spot potential issues, to spot potential pieces of information or different signs of what's happening in there. But then we're also able to use the robot to physically do the operation.
Having worked with robots quite intimately over the past year, I would say that I feel quite attached to them. It always brings a lot of joy whenever it works in the way it should. And it's obviously very stressful when it doesn't. You get to know this machine in such a way that, okay, if it moves in this way, I know what's wrong with it. So you get to know it quite well, and you do feel really attached.
There's so much excitement about fusion because if we can prove that it works, then we will change the world. We will have a completely new, renewable, safe source of energy. And that is a real game changer. If we can prove that fusion is a viable energy source, it'd be fantastic for the planet. It would help demonstrate that we can have a zero carbon energy source. And by using robotic arms at ITA, I feel really part of this project and helping to get these results.
You're listening to the Castrol on Mars podcast series. Everything we do in space goes into everything we do here on Earth. Castrol is proud to be working with robotic technology and manufacturing across the world. Find out more at castrol.com/onmars.